Okay. There we go. We're live. Well, today it's my pleasure to be with you. It's been some time since I've been here. Although I speak in the prison and have been doing that now 20 years, 15 here in London, but 20 years, 5 in Africa, it's been a long time since I've spoken at different places. Just recently, once at Southdale, and now here. So I've had a lot of, I guess, internal problems since I came back 10 years ago. You know, suffered with a lot of depression, and it's kind of funny because I'm like high-end extrovert. I'm not shy. I was just reading a report from grade 5, and it said, Brian chatters too much in class. So that's me. Sandra was excellent student, all this, and me, my marks were, I don't even know how I passed school. So my first 3 years in grade 1 were the toughest. So today I want to talk to you today, so enough about me, about the vine. And it's a very common a part of God's word in John 15. But then I also wanted to tie it in to Romans 11. Israel's rejection. You mentioned Israel, that God is not done with Israel. And let me tell you, too, I said to myself when I'm at home, I was like, what can I tell all those old people? And then I looked at myself, well, I'm 62, so I'm like almost old. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. I said, what could I share with you, or how could God use me to encourage you? And I want to tell you, God is not finished with you yet. Okay. We heard about Carolyn. We just heard Carolyn. Carolyn's actually staying with us before she goes up north. And you say, how could God use me? Well, you could be a prayer warrior for Carolyn. You could just cry out for her, get on your knees, that God would help her. You could support her financially, too. You could be a friend to her while she's here. Go out for coffee. She loves to meet people. There's so many things we can do. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you're not an extrovert who would go to my neighbor and give my neighbor a tract. But we all have a place when we're connected to and abide in God. And it's the abiding that gives us the strength. It's this abiding and letting God work through us, shining out until that wonderful day comes. So let's read John 15 first. He says, I am the true vine, verse 1. I'm reading from New King James. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But I think a better translation is he lifts up, which I have in my notes. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, key, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Wow, wonderful words. Actually, very special words for me, because my hobby is grafting. Grafting fruit, raising fruit. I used to have motorcycles, do drugs, drink, chase women as my hobbies, but those are not pretty good things to do. And it's funny how God changes your heart and your desires. And I just love having this hobby. It's such a great little hobby where I can get into my garden, get my hands dirty, see God's creation. I'm just so amazed, so amazed. Like, I remember one time I'm looking at one of my apple trees, and I looked at a little part of a branch, and I said, "What is that?" And some sort of beetly bug was laying eggs, little geometrically shaped eggs, the size of a grain of sand, all together. Hundreds of them, all in this little patch. And the closer I looked at it, I was like, God, I was overwhelmed. I said, God, you're so unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, eternity goes this way, as far as it goes this way. And God is in eternity. He is eternity, and his creation is just so unbelievable. And I'm just so amazed at times. So, I know a little bit about grafting. I know a little bit about fruit vines, fruit trees, and that. And I hope that this will just really encourage you to know God in a deeper way. I'm not going to probably tell you anything you don't know, Les. I want to give you this. This is for your own quiet time. It's been very helpful. I got this from a friend that's a teacher. And it's about leading a Bible study, but it's about even studying God's Word for yourself. These are probably things that you maybe know already, and we've heard this verse so many times. And I think the key to this is the very last, second last line. What will I start, change, or continue? So as you study the Word of God yourself, I think what's been so helpful for me is I sit to study something. I sometimes, in my quiet time, pray over that passage I'm studying to want to know God in a deeper way, to abide in Him in a deeper way. And then I say to Him, how can I apply that to me? How can I abide in you? How can I, in the end, what's the whole purpose of abiding in Him? What's the whole purpose? It's to produce fruit. To love Him, to bring Him glory, it says, eh? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. For this, by this, my Father is glorified, eh? To bring glory to the Father, eh? That you may bear much fruit, not just a little bit, so you will be my disciples, a follower of that. So as I'm talking to you, I'm hoping I'm just going to stir some things up in you. I'm going to share some things about grafting. We're going to go over this verse. This is my entrance, and then do I have 20 minutes? 20 minutes, I'm going to marathon through this. So here he says, I am the true vine. So Christ tells us he's this true vine. There's so many false vines out there. And my Father is the vine dresser. So we have a heavenly Father that's pruning us, looking after us, and He is going to get fruit out of you. That's His job. He's going to finish His job. What He started in you in Philippians, He's going to finish it. So sometimes we need to get out of the way. We need to not live in the past. I'm speaking to myself. Be all depressed about this and down about this. And I'm a pretty emotional person. Sandra is like very stoic, British, stiff upper lip. And she would say to me sometimes, what is wrong with you? Good wife, eh? You are not living in the past. Richard, you're not living in the past. That's done with. Those sins were washed away. Carry on. Produce some fruit. And pick up after yourself. Put some stuff in the dishwasher. But she says that she's a very practical person, and God is that way too. So sometimes we sit around all the time, mope around, and it's hard to do when we get older, maybe not as active as you'd like to be, but don't waste your time on the television, on the internet, although some good things on the internet and things like that. Love God, serve God, know God, pray, serve other people. That was part of my healing, because when I left Zambia 10 years ago, I was so depressed. We left because I was depressed. And part of my healing was two things. One, I began to speak to myself instead of listen to myself like David in the Psalms. He'd say to himself when he was down, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" So he started to speak to himself instead of listen to himself, because sometimes we have all this negativity. Yes, we're failures. Yes, we have sinned. But Christ has joined us to himself, and he wants to produce some fruit. So sometimes that's what we need to remind ourselves. So the Father is going to produce fruit in me. So he says, every branch, and this is the key, because you could read into this that there's branches in him that he cuts off, and they're gathered up and burned. So this first one, people would say, oh, this speaks about we can't have eternal security. No, it's not what it's talking about. Because here's the key, is this term, in me. In me. So in verse 2 it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I think the proper one translation is he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And then the second one, he says, abide in me, verse 4. And verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, there's the people that are in him. Then we see in verse 8, if anyone does not abide in me, that's the people that were going to be cast into hell. So you're either abiding, resting in faith, not in yourself, you're resting in the vine, or you're not resting in him. You're either resting in what was finished on the cross, done, complete, all of your sins forgiven. I don't need to make myself or change myself morally or help myself to be better accepted by Christ. I already am. And living in that, I will then love him more and produce fruit for him, because he is living in me. So sometimes we need to remember, just get out of the way and say, that was taken care of. And it does not give us a license to have sin in our life. The joy of knowing all my sins washed away, I know in my own life, because I think I probably suffered from more sin than anyone here in this room. I'm not saying the greatest sinner, because sometimes drug addicts can have pride in how bad they were or how much sin they have. And that's what I'm trying to say. But, you know, I was addicted to pornography, pills, smoking pot, drinking, doing cocaine, was in prison, was super immoral in all that I did. You know, and God has washed all those sins away. And he's changing me. He's helping me to abide. So he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. So this is a grapevine. I just cut it. It's green. It looks like it's dead, but it's not. It's just dormant. I just cut this morning. You can still see it's a bit green inside. With the grape, so I brought some apples and grapes. With the grape, there's what you would call the central leader. So when the vine is down like this and there's some other branches sticking up, like if this was like this, whatever branch is higher, the plant knows, the way God makes it, the plant knows, and the more dominant growth will come from this top part. Okay? So that's what Christ wants to do with us when we're down. He wants to prune off stuff that's not producing fruit. He says, okay, I don't want this anymore, so I don't want this one anymore, and I want to then lift this up. I want to prune off a little bit of these dead fruit buds. There's a bud that's going to produce some flowers. You can see. I don't know if you can see from there. And what I want to do then on the vine is I want to lift that up. That little bud there will produce the flowers. I want to lift that up. And then I'm telling the plant, so the Lord, the Father, is doing that to us. He's lifting us up. He's pruning stuff off in our lives. And that means to me, I say to myself, don't make peace with sin in my life. Don't make peace with it. Fight it. He's given me the strength. He says to me, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. And I've had to battle a lot of battles in my life. You know, I have been clean now for 32 years. Okay? I have not been sober for that long, but I've been sober for years and years. But early in my marriage and before I got married as a Christian, I struggled with alcohol because I'd be what you would call, sorry, we're recording that. I'd be what you would call a miserable drunk if anyone's had problems, issues with drinking. So I was sober for many years, but I was miserable. I'd go to see my family. My brothers would be having a beer, and I'd say, ugh. And I'd wish I could have a beer. And sometimes through the years, I'd have a beer. Then the next week, I'd have three beers. And then you know for sure, a couple weeks later, I'd just get smashed, drunk. And I said to God one time, why can't I just be happy and be sober? Help me to be that way. And you know something? He's answered my prayers. I'm happier now. I don't desire those things. So God's working in me. He's pruning off those things that are preventing me from producing fruit. Because God doesn't want me to be like that. He wants me to be happy. And I'm not like I'm walking around ha 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 like this all the time. But I'm satisfied. At peace would be a better word. I'm at peace with my situation. Because good times and bad things happen to all of us. And sometimes we have a valley. Sometimes we have a peak. Some people sometimes in life are pretty steady because they know the presence of God. They know God in their life. So you wonder, how can some people go through what they go through? Well, it's because they're abiding in Him. So every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear what? More fruit. And then He says this to us, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Hey, this living word that's inside of us that we've taken hold of. And that's faith, me resting in what God has promised me. That's what I'm hoping in. And when I started with my journey, my faith was just so tiny you couldn't even measure it. But I did my part. And my life verse, I guess, would be John 1:12. As many as received Him, as many as believed in Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. So Christ said to me, here's your part. I want you to receive me and believe in me. And then I will make you a child. And that verse goes on. It's pretty nice. The verse goes on to say, who were born not of blood, so it's not by family. I'm born into a Christian household. Nor of the will of the flesh. I can't save myself. It's not my own will that saves me. Nor of the will of man. Someone else can't save me. But of God. It's God who does the saving. And He tells me, you do your part. I received Him and believed in Him. And that's what I'm doing this day. And He'll make me His child. He'll graft me into this vine. So, He wants us to bear more fruit. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Then He says this, abide in me. Live in Him. Rest in Him. Take comfort in Him. And how can you be walking about in life, struggling so much, when God has given you His living words that He wants us to know and rest in and trust in. Eh? So it's good to get back to studying yourself. For me, it's small passages, maybe even a verse, that I try to then apply to my life. See how God wishes for me to rest in whatever He's telling me, or maybe He's my great Father who's warning me about something or encouraging me. So it's abiding is the key. That says, abide in me and I in you. He's going to abide in us. Because this branch, you think if I leave this in your garbage in the spring, this is going to bring us some grapes? No. It's got to be part of the vine, you know. And my sustenance comes from Him. I'm just this branch by myself, can do nothing. So it's when it's grafted in, I'm going to show you that, when it's grafted in, we can see how we can get sustenance from Him. So, unless it says, you cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And maybe the reason you're doing nothing is because you're not abiding in him, or you're trying in your own effort. So, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. So what does God do? He takes these branches of people not abiding in him, people that are not believers, they cast them out, they withered, they'll be gathered together and thrown into the fire. Hell is a real place for unbelievers. Okay? You see the sins in Revelation? It's not just fornication and murder, it's unbelief. You know, you think God can do anything, but He cannot save you unless you believe and rest in His finished work. That's what's saving me. That's what's justifying me. I've been declared righteous by His work. I always think there'll be maybe a day when I'll stand before God and maybe He'll say, Brian, why should I let you into heaven? And maybe I'll say to Him, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But He shed His blood for me to set me free. And I'm resting now and abiding in Him and His love, His wisdom. So we'll move on. So if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words, key, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's the key, is God's giving us His words, so He wants me to feed on them and grow. But oftentimes in my life when I was suffering and struggling, I wasn't praying, I wasn't reading. I'm like, oh, Lord, oh, you got to help me. When He'd given me everything, oh, poor Brian, you know, all this, and I just drag and useless, good for nothing, really, in times in my life. But when He basically opened my eyes up again, woke me up, gave me a shaking, used other people to speak to me, and I get back to basics, get back to the cross, get back to abiding in Him, it's amazing how I can really enjoy that fellowship and that peace. And then He wants us to bring glory and bear much fruit. So let's move on to just the last couple minutes to Romans 11. And I'm going to show you here. Romans 11. And then I have an ending. I have something in this bag that's going to blow your minds. This is an extravaganza, multimedia extravaganza. So here, I'm just going to tell you, this is a fruit tree. And before we read our next passage, when you have an apple, I've got an apple here, and I plant the seeds of this apple, I do not get this apple. Just like when Sandra and I had a child, we didn't get another Brian. Thank God for that. We got little parts of Brian, little parts of Sandra. You got a little part of your mom, a little part of your dad, and some even characteristics of your mom and dad. But that's the same with an apple. So how do you get an apple? Well, this top here is an apple called a Blenheim orange. Let's say it could be like a Granny Smith. Every Granny Smith tree came from one Granny Smith tree that someone found. It was a wild seed growing. Every seed does not produce a good flavored apple. But occasionally one comes, and then they look for one that's disease resistant, maybe one that's good for culinary purposes, one that's good for fresh eating. And nowadays you eat cardboard in the supermarkets because they're bred now to look good, shiny. Taste is the last thing they want from you. So I'm going to give you some of this apple. It's not a normal apple, and hopefully you'll just go, whoa. So this is a Blenheim orange. I don't want this anymore. So I don't want the Blenheim orange anymore. So in Romans 11, we're going to read. So it's about Israel's rejection's not total, and it's not final. And how we entered into the promises that they were given. Okay? It says, I'll have to read this quick. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to those here, the Gentiles. Anyone that's Jewish here? I'm Irish. We're all Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, and I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, other Jews, and save some of them. For if their casting away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in amongst them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also may be cut off. So people can read into this that, I need to worry about myself because as a believer, I am not producing fruit, I'm going to be cut off. So there's no such thing as eternal security. No, it's not what God's talking about here. I think he's talking about Israel as a nation and the church, us, as a church in this broader sense of the church. Now, do you believe that when you meet here Sunday morning, every single person here is saved? We would like to think so. I know at Southdale, I'd like to think so, but it's not true. I think God's talking about the visible Israel. And who's really saved? Well, it's the redeemed at Israel, okay? The chosen of Israel, those that have put their faith in God. like the church. We have the visible church, but there are some that believe and some that don't believe. They're fooling themselves. They're trying to live by their own works. So what's God say he did to Israel in the past? They weren't producing fruit. This church, he what? He cut them off. Okay? So they're cut off. God says there could be a day when he's going to, maybe some in belief at the end times, graft them back in. They're going to come in true saving faith. He's going to come when they call out, oh, we need the Son of David to come. We need the King to come. We need the Messiah to come. And they'll see the one who they pierced. And he'll bring them back in. But imagine that we have been grafted into this tree. This is an apple, same as an olive. And the branch, it says, doesn't get sustenance of itself. Of course, you maybe figure out. It gets sustenance from the tree. And this tree actually grows all on the edge, just underneath the bark. You can see this is green. It's not dead. So right underneath the bark is something called cadmium. And the cadmium is where all the sustenance comes from the roots. There's all the, these are stored here. This is called B9. It's specially raised so it can put up with a lot of adverse and troublesome soils. It's good. It's frost resistant. It comes actually from Russia originally, this B9. And this is what's going to make my tree really, really produce some fruit. It's precocious. That means it produces fruit early. I'm going to get good fruit from this tree. But I didn't want this one here. I wanted this one grafted on. This is called Kids Orange Red. It's from Australia. It has a really nice tasting apple. The tree produces very well. It gives me consistent size apples. I really enjoy it. I like an apple that keeps in my cold room, not an apple that just, some apples you will only stay fresh for a week or two. I want one that I can enjoy, put some in the cold room, make some pies. I like pie. You can look at me. No one likes pie like me. Well, there's maybe someone here. But so what I do here, here is we see here, this is a leaf bud that a branch could come out. And this is a fruit bud, a bit different. So God wants you to have some fruit buds. So there's a leaf bud, a branch is going to come by that. And then this is a bit plumper. It's a fruit bud. I'm going to get flowers out of that. If the bees do their job and pollinate it, I'm going to get some fruit. So I'll show you how to graft here. So I want a piece of this here. I want to cut it up here on a bit of an angle. And I try to look for two that are similar sizes. Those are pretty good. They're not bad. I'll show you what I do. I want to join the cadmium that's just underneath the bark, that's white. And they're like little straws if you look at them. All the nutrients come out of there. And all the healing properties are in there too. So I want to then just cut this. Sure, I've run over time, 5 minutes. So you get some apples. You get a piece of apple in the end if you're good. So what I want to do is I want to join these two pieces together. And it's pretty amazing. This is even from the Lord's time. Before the Lord's time, people were grafting. So this wild branch got grafted into the real thing. Okay? The thing that's going to produce fruit. So you're that wild branch. So Israel, the early church, there was quite a few Jews. But many rejected him, so much so, the Savior was there in front of their face, and they crucified him. Imagine. And if you were there too, you probably would have been with me, leading the crowd, me being the extrovert, you're following behind, crucify him. But imagine that he loved you while you're still an enemy, and washed all your sins away. Amazing back then. And he grafted you on. So I'm going to show you how to graft. So I just do a little bit of a cut here. I cut one like this. And then here, just tidy this end up a bit. I want to make a little notch here. I'm being very careful with the knife and controlling by touching both my hands together, although I have cut myself before. But I've got a nurse for a wife, so it's been pretty good for me. I've been to the hospital more times. My mom says she was a nurse too. She said she was in the hospital more times with me than she actually went there for work. And her greatest fear was not that I got injured and went to emerge, but that I had clean underpants on. Because, kid you not, because she said, if you show up at emerge with dirty underpants on and the other nurses see you, they just, look at Lillian's son. She doesn't even clean his pants on. don't ask me why I'm telling you that, but anyway. So, I want to make a similar cut in this. Got to be nice, pretty flat. And I'm going to put another notch in this one. So we were grafted in. Oftentimes, I learned this actually from Brian Mann. I didn't know this. And I think it was Matthew Henry said this, that oftentimes the old olive tree, when it was not producing, a real funny thing they did, they would take a wild olive branch, graft it into the olive, and it would stimulate the olive to say, hey, we need to wake up here and produce more branches. Amazing. And we're that wild olive branch that he grafted into himself. So what I want to do here is I maybe just need to clean this up just a tiny bit. I want to lock these two together because I just need to stop for a sec. I want to put this little layer on the outside here. There's a little white line. There's a little white line there.
Oh, yeah.
That's the cadmium. It's a little white line on the outside. Just right there. John's a little white line there. Right there. Daryl. Maybe you guys know this. Maybe you don't. Don't anyone ever grafted before? Then I lock these two together. And I'm lining up the cadmium one side to the other. So it doesn't matter if both sides touch or not. It's one side I want so that this cadmium will marry up to this here. And what I do too is I then take some grafting tape and I tightly wrap them together. I plant it in the spring. This will take about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks to heal over. So first of all, I want this to be growing, shooting some leaves. I keep this in my fridge. I gather some from all my friends. They have different types of apples. And then in the spring, I graft on some new varieties. So I make this really tight to join them together. And it's just amazing that you can make a new apple tree. I can have a new kid's orange red and produce some fruit. So I know I'm losing you right now. I better get these apples out. You've been so good, all of you. Then I would just cover this with a little wax, and then this will grow. This, in the Lord's eye, this is the Lord, and he's producing these deep roots. This branch by itself doesn't produce fruit. You don't produce fruit by yourself. We could try. It's just useless stuff. When we let Christ work through us, that's when we get this joy of living and abiding in him. And all the nutrients of this. These roots go out, find all these nutrients. It's unbelievable what happens. The plant sends starches and sugars down to some enzymes, speaks to those enzymes. They share that with another enzyme that's in the soil, in this living soil. Those ones go out and find phosphorus and zinc and potassium. They gather it in, they bring it back, and then the plant shares these starches and sugars with it, And then the potassium helps the plant grow, and the nitrogen and all those things help the plant grow. It's just unbelievable. And we need to be abiding in Him, getting these nutrients from the Word of God, so we can deal with things. We can be a prayer warrior for our kids, be an example to our neighbors. We can have strength to deal with the problems we go through, the joys we go through. We can be what God intended us to be, a good daughter, a good son, a good mom, a good neighbor, a good friend. So you will have the strength to say, let me help. I know Susie's going through some things. Let me call her up and encourage her. Let me pray for her. That's producing fruit. So, we have been grafted in. Okay? Later on, in belief, has not finished with Israel. He's going to graft them back in. And now let me show you, before my apples is my last thing, you can figure everything out yourself. Read this passage, 11, John 15, use this. You've probably heard about the passage more than I have because you're eons older than me. I know some of you. Last, I wasn't just looking at you. So you'd say, oh, what's going to happen with all that? Well, maybe you didn't notice when I was showing this around. This is my apple stalk. Right here is a joint of the Blenheim orange. And look at how it's healed over. I made a cut. That's my graft from a couple years ago. Hey, that's my graft right there from a couple years ago. How it heals all over. Kind of like scars in our life. They heal over. It'll pass. God's gonna, He knows He's in control. So look at that. That's my graft. I think I did a pretty good job. It's just amazing how God wants to lift us up. Okay, this is my last part, and we'll pray. So this is an apple that I got at Super King, and I have washed these apples too. If you're allergic to apples, let me tell. Like if you're allergic to peanut butter, you know what we used to do as kids when we brought peanut butter jam sandwiches to school? Well, the person that was allergic to it, they didn't eat peanut butter. So that's just my little peanut butter joke. I don't know what I'm telling you. So this apple is an apple bread, and look at this. So it's a wild apple that was found in Oregon called Hidden Rose, and it's actually part of Honeycrisp, was it maybe one of the parents. And it's a very different tasting apple. I'm going to give you a piece of it. If you're allergic to apples, don't have one, so... And sorry I've kept you long, 50 minutes over, but this will sustain you as you travel home. What else are you rushing off to do?
That's right.
People are so... We'd go to Africa and people would say, what are you stopping for right now? I just walked 2 hours to this meeting. Give us some food. Give us some food. Oh no, I got a roast in the oven. Going to make Yorkshire puddings before the guests come over. I'm speaking to myself, of course. Okay. So, if you'd like, you can try a piece of apple there. Hope you brought your teeth, Richard.
Yeah.
Sorry. Whoops. Oh, you got two. It's okay. I got more there. So there you go. Yeah, it's amazing. So you have an apple like this, and that was one of my starts for fruit, because I had an apple, and I was like, not a normal apple from the store. I was like, what is this? Wow, I could need to get a branch of that. So I have a lot of apple geek friends, and we send sticks to each other, you know. Like I send this kid's orange rice. This is from Australia, from one tree in Australia. Eh? And I actually like this. I just cut it off because it was a shoot, cut it off this morning. So, well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. So why were they broken off? Unbelief. Okay? They did not believe. This is verse 20. And you stand by what? Your own works. You stand by your religion. You stand because you've changed yourself morally, Richard. Made yourself right with God. No. You stand by faith. We're standing. I'm standing here by faith. And that should wake me up. I should appreciate the cross more. So don't be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Now, God's not talking to that we need to be walking and producing fruit or else we're going to be cut off. That's not what he's talking. You can't read everything into a parable or a story about doors or branches. We know in other places, God says, when I believe, I receive eternal life. John 3:16. So that's the theology we get from God's word. He gives eternal life. What he's telling you here is that as the church as a whole, people were haughty. They didn't have belief. They had their religion. They had their good works they're resting in. There's nothing wrong with having religion as long as it's based on God's word. There's nothing wrong with having a couple traditions too, although they can hang us up, or be morally correct, seeking God, reading God's word. Those are good in themselves, but those things will not save us. We need to, by faith, be resting in that true vine, the tree, to know that he is the one. What's it say here? Well said, because of unbelief, they are broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Hey, the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But towards you, he's giving us his goodness, if you continue in his goodness. And how do we continue in that? Not by our own strength. Go back to verse 20, because we stand by faith. And verse 22, we will continue in our own goodness? No, in his goodness. That's how we continue. That's how we abide. We continue in his goodness. And then someone can pray.
Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for these wonderful things we have heard this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is that vine, the root. We are, Father, the branches by faith in Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way we grafted into that vine except by faith alone. And we know that one day Israel will be grafted back in. Thank you, Father, that we abide in your goodness and not our own. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our own. May these passages, Father, have an impact upon our minds and upon our hearts. To be faithful, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works and enabled by your Holy Spirit to do them. Bless us now through the heart of our homes. Keep us safe in your care. Bless Brian and his continued ministry and labor for thee, Heavenly Father, in the prisons and with others that he comes in contact with. We commit this to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.